This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Come get some.
Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. With me this week is Ryan Geddes.
Hello.
Craig Harris is here.
Hiya.
And Greg Miller.
I don't believe you really started the show.
You don't believe it?
We didn't do anything funny to roll into it. Usually try to trick us. You know, just start it. You're in a surly mood.
Believe it, Greg Miller. It's Friday. This is my third cup of coffee.
Oh, wow. No.
How many donuts in are you?
Two donuts in. And a cup of mocha flavored yogurt.
Mocha.
Oh, is that what you were eating this morning? You were like looking very seriously at it, like you're pondering it as you ate it.
I was like, is this going to be good? Is this going to be? Oh, yeah, this is nice. Yeah. I'm going to get more of these.
Mm-hmm. I could see the gears turning as you ate.
Speaking of gears.
I see what you did.
Gears of War 3.
Oh, man. Yes.
Gears of War 3. You're going to get to play it. You're a big Gears fan.
I am. Right? Yes.
Right? So you're excited because you're going to get to play it on April 5th. Aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Oh.
No.
Yeah, we got to wait.
It was delayed.
It was delayed.
Holiday 2011.
Wow.
Annual winter holiday.
Microsoft wants that to be their big holiday release next year.
Which means something else fell through that they were counting on. Like, there was something else that we didn't know about that was going to be their big holiday release.
Oh, Last Guardians of PS3 exclusive?
Oh,
well. Well, I guess we need something else then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I was talking about this with somebody else in the office. When they made the announcement at E3, everyone was like, there's no way that that game is going to come out in April.
Was it even playable in any form?
Yes. Well, they had the horde mode where you play as the Locust.
Okay.
That was playable. And that was it.
Yeah.
But there have been other looks kind of at what's happening with the game since then. So everyone kind of thought, okay, well, this thing's kind of on track. I guess it's coming out. And then, no, not so much.
Microsoft says Gears of War 3 promises to be the biggest entertainment launch of 2011.
Whoa.
Is it? Isn't Microsoft like the only company that talks that way, talks about their game releases as entertainment launches?
Yes.
They speak about Halo that way all the time.
Yeah, well,
Halo Reach is the biggest day one entertainment.
Well, they want
launch
it to be a movie, and they keep pulling that. You know.
They also talk about Call of Duty that way when they talk about like their Call of Duty exclusives, and you know when they're crowing about how more people play Call of Duty on 360 than PS3, all that stuff. They use that kind of language as well because their goal is to have their 360 or their Xbox stuff be thought of in the same terms as big blockbuster movies.
Yeah. Well, maybe now that it's been delayed, maybe the multiplayer will work when Gears of War 3 is released.
Don't hold your breath.
Unconfirmed at this time.
So we'll find out. Ryan. We'll find out soon enough.
It's true. Next week,
Castlevania Lords of Shadow comes out on Xbox 360.
You reviewed it.
And PS3.
The review, you gave it a terrible score, right?
I thought the game was absolute piss. So I scored it a 7.5.
Wow.
Which
man,
is like pretty much terrible.
How do you sleep at
the lowest score you can give a game? I fully expect Konami, the company, to shut down now.
Yeah.
I think I've ended Konami, well, whatever they've been around.
Well, at
since.
Least the community and the internet in general has embraced you for your score.
Yeah, they understand.
Fine with it. Yeah,
they
like
understand.
It. They like
I mean, people on the internet are generally pretty reasonable.
Yeah, they've seen videos, so they know.
They don't just see a brand name and automatically think that it has to be scored a certain way because it has that brand name on it.
And everyone out there, I think the comments on the review are up to like 750 now.
Jeez.
All of those people have already played the game.
Yep.
And they have very informed opinions as well.
Yeah,
so their opinion
about it
is totally valid, whatever they think about the game. Anyway.
I saw a great comment on a 3-page article on IGN recently. I don't remember what it was, but somebody commented almost right after the article went up and said, "Great read." And somebody else called him out and was like, "There's no way you've read that article already." And the guy commented, "Yeah, but I read the first page and I could tell the whole thing was going to be a great read."
That's awesome.
I thought that was really good.
I'm very surprised that there's that much passion for this game. I mean, it's not a side-scrolling Castlevania game.
That's
it's
the
a,
thing.
It's a 3D Castlevania game.
But it's
and
Castlevania.
It's not even a Japanese-developed Castlevania game.
I know.
Game,
Castlevania... Harmony of Despair came out on as part of Summer of Arcade, and nobody really cared.
Yeah.
Like, there's like a small, really hardcore audience that loves that game, made up of Stephen Ng and Ryan Scott. But no, it wasn't anything like this. Like, why do people care about this game so much? I had no idea. So there is like a lot of upset people that people don't understand that 7.5 is a good score.
You can't pre-order a downloadable game.
Yeah, okay.
So
that's
mean,
what they're upset about? But I already pre-ordered it.
There might be a lot of people out there.
I've already decided to buy the game, and I need you to justify my purchase.
You know, we place very little distinction anymore on downloadable games and retail games because the quality of downloadable games is so high now.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people out there still kind of haven't embraced. I mean, we saw the numbers, right? Wasn't it 6% of people download games?
I thought
on
that
consoles?
Was from talking about downloadable content.
Yeah, it's spread out over Apple TV and a couple other services too. So it's not
so
just
taken
video
in
games.
The aggregate. Yeah. I mean, you're looking at let's be generous and say 10% of people do this.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, a lot of people out there still view these games as retail games as quote as the real game. And I'm making air quotes. Mm-hmm. Everybody here can attest to that.
I don't think you really did it.
Air quote. Here we go. Of real games. Anyway, you know what I'm saying.
Castlevania Lords of Shadow. So I liked the game. I thought it was fun. I thought it was good. Konami calls it a reboot of the Castlevania franchise, but it feels more like just an unrelated game that they put the Castlevania name on. Like it does not feel like Castlevania at all.
Are there Draculas?
There's vampires.
Are there Wolfmen?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
that's like Castlevania.
I mean, that's what I said. It's like
I have a cross and a whip, right?
You have a chain. Yeah.
Yes, and it doesn't really fit. It doesn't even fit in the timeline. If you actually
canon. There's,
yeah,
it's not
it's
canon.
It's weird.
Konami says it's not canon.
Yeah.
But what they did was like just basically take pieces of other games like from God of War and Uncharted and Resident Evil and like kind of make their own little like third person action game from it, which is cool and it's fun, but it's not very original at all. It just kind of feels like a God of War, a Dante's Inferno style action game. So like that's fine. Like that's why it's like a 7.5. It's like this game is good. It's totally playable, fun, but it's not really doing anything special. So it's not, you know, a Portal or a Half-Life or, you know, an Uncharted even. It's like not really up in that upper echelon of the very best games
it's
out
there. It's long, right?
Yeah, it's super long. That's the other thing. It's like I gave it an 8 in replayability. First of all, listeners, stop looking at those breakdown scores. We hate those breakdown scores. We're going to be removing them soon. We hate giving a score to the graphics that's different from the overall game and the presentation. What does presentation even mean? We don't even know.
Yeah.
Stop looking at the breakdown scores. We hate doing them.
Stop looking at scores in general. Read the text.
Yeah. So people were like, you said it's a very long game, but you only scored it an 8 in replayability. Why didn't it score higher? Dude, what's the problem? Like, 8 is a very high score.
It's impressive.
I know. It's
impressive replayability.
It's not like
unlike
a
the
Halo,
game
though.
Overall.
High five.
Bam. So anyway, it's very amusing to me that people would be upset that I said a game is good. Even the game's producer was like bitching on Twitter about this, which I actually thought that was really unprofessional of him. He posted several posts in a row bitching and complaining about IGN's review of the game.
Well, have you ever gotten emails from producers?
Not from producers.
I've gotten an email from a producer before. I will not name names, but this person was like, blah, blah, blah. They were complaining about a very particular wording of one sentence. And I got an email from that brand's PR person afterwards saying, I'm so sorry that person emailed you. That's not cool. Blah, 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 blah. But yeah. I thought it was interesting. I wasn't like pissed. I thought it was just an interesting like view into.
Laughed.
Yeah, urinated on my keyboard.
took a photo of you laughing and emailed it back to him. And there's your response. Yeah.
And then you lit a cigar with one of the $100 bills you were paid to
by
give
the
it a bad
competitor. Yeah. Yeah. I think you should have prefaced this whole thing with the airing of grievances, title, but.
Oh, no, I don't have grievances about this. I find this highly amusing.
Sounds like you have grievances.
Yesterday you responded to the readers in the comments.
Yeah, I let them know that I was eating a Snickers ice cream bar.
Was it free?
It was, yeah. I didn't pay a cent for it.
Oh, nice.
Hat, Snickers hat.
Paid for by Namco Bandai. Who else has come out?
It was Sony. The God of War people were like, oh, you got to give. Give our God of War clone, give Konami's God of War clone a terrible score. So I did. I gave it a 7.5.
Wow, yeah.
So I figured out a lot of the upset people are Europeans over in the UK.
Well, how'd you figure that out?
Well, so
IPs?
The developer is a European developer. For some reason, there's this mentality that like
look out for your own.
Yeah, they huddle around their own developers. I think.
Yeah.
And also they were bitching and complaining that we gave Halo Reach a 10. But we did not give Halo Reach a 10. We gave it a 9.5. But our UK guys reviewed it and gave it a 10. So they were like,
oh, did they?
That's what their thing.
Oh.
We're also doing away with that dumb system, too, of doing separate reviews in the UK and in the US. We're just going to be having one review. One review to rule them all in the near future. So anyway, Castlevania Lords of Shadow is good, and I recommend you play it.
There you go. That's all that matters.
but just not for very long.
I mean, it's a long game.
Because it only has an 8 in replayability.
I'm intimidated by how long it is.
Yeah, it is very, very long. It's like,
I don't want to commit
that
much time to it.
You know, 20-hour game. And then there's like backtracking and you know, going back to like previous levels to complete challenges and stuff. Yeah, it's a super long game.
Yeah.
That's why I even mentioned that review. It's like, if you like this type of game, this is going to be a great investment for you. Like, if you're like, you know, a teenager or whatever, you can't buy every game that you want. Like, this game's going to last you a really long time. So
that's the thing. All we can do is talk about a game from our perspective.
Exactly.
And like, you know, your review is a good example of thinking about what the other perspectives may be and writing to those people as well. So you're saying, here's my personal feeling about this game, but hey, if you're this kind of gamer, this is really going to be a plus for you and stuff. So I don't know. People get crazy.
It's true.
Jerks.
Man.
Guitar Hero Warriors of Rock is also out.
I won't lie, I don't know the score on this one.
I think it got a 6-0.
6-0. Okay, okay. Across the board from Arthur Geese.
Yeah.
Yeah, every version got a 6-0, I think. This is the change of pace for the Guitar Hero franchise that tries to add a medieval fantasy narrative.
That I found really bizarre.
That's, yeah.
Well, I've always wanted to transform in this game. I've always said, I wish I was some kind of lizard man right now.
Just like... Playing music with you know, an instrument controller just doesn't really... It always felt like it was missing something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll sum up Arthur's review.
By quoting it.
Right here. From a confused set list that doesn't jibe with the game's heavy metal aesthetic to wildly varying difficulty and a lack of accessibility that might make it the hardest Guitar Hero game in recent memory, I was left with a final question that I was never able to answer. Why Warriors of Rock is here?
Money.
Yeah. Activision needed a Guitar Hero.
I don't know where it'll go from.
Yeah,
here.
The Wii version went up a little later simply because the Wii version has a big mode that's not in the other version. It's you can sync up your DS and play the roadie battle.
Which apparently is kind of fun.
Yeah, apparently I'm reading Clements wrote said, yeah, I'm having a great time with it. I think Jack, you know,
have you played it before?
I have played it and it's really cool.
I enjoy it too, but it's old too.
Yeah. It's old from the last version. But
and
then
the
they threw in four more. No, it was only last year.
No, but it was in Band Hero as well.
Was it?
Yep.
Okay. And then they added four player. So four DSs can sync up and so you can have four teams, which is actually kind of cool. So if you're actually using this as your party game, if you're actually, you know, playing Guitar Hero with four people, if there are more people out there and they have DSs, hey, sync up your things. We got some really cool mode here that no one else can do. I think that's kind of cool. Wasn't enough to raise the score to a higher
thing
because the general experience was kind of
It's kind of a mess, I think. Yeah.
So are we all there now? Like, for a while, I remember Geddes was the tip of the sword on just being burned out on music games. Is everyone there now?
I've been there for a while. I will play it at a New Year's Eve party at my friend's place.
He's
invested in Rock Band, so I don't really kind of get the whole Guitar Hero experience because that's the only one I play is Rock Band. Hmm. And not by choice. It's his choice.
Well, my whole thing was I'm not over music games. I'm over music games as they stand, and until somebody does something cool and new, that I don't care anymore.
Like a guitar?
Guitar's not enough for me. DJ Hero's not enough for me. It's just like another peripheral of the same old thing. Now, Dance Central is different and new, and I'm excited about. But that's a music rhythm game, which is doing something different with using the Kinect.
Isn't it hard to picture Geddes playing Dance Central?
It's near impossible.
I was like, huh?
Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
So you're going to buy that one?
I probably won't buy it. Well, I haven't even played it yet, right? So I'm going to try it out.
So what would you score it?
7.5, maybe? I don't know. That's the score I give everything. I don't know. I mean, I'm curious about it.
There was some controversy about the Taliban.
Controversy is how I would
Controversy?
Yeah, pronounce it.
The wrong syllable there.
Taliban in Medal of Honor.
What?
Yeah. And so in the multiplayer mode, we were going to be able to play as the Taliban and shoot American soldiers.
Finally, Greg, high five.
Yeah. I've been saying somebody's got to put them in their place for a while. They've been getting an easy ride over there with their goddamn Alabama music and sweet homes. And get out of here. Come on now. It's time to let my freak flag fly. Taliban rolls into the giant mech. They're just like, man, here comes the space nuke.
Well, don't get too excited there.
Ah, damn it. Why'd you give me all the juice stuff?
Sorry, Greg.
No, now you're going to be playing as... the opposing force.
Oh.
So dumb.
Not Fox the Taliban. News wins.
Okay.
Not the Taliban.
All right.
Electronic Arts apparently caved to the controversy.
The what?
The controversy.
Oh.
I don't get this joke.
That's just how British people say it.
Okay.
They don't really say controversy.
Controversy. Yes, they do. British people, let me know. Email us.
Call Ryan at...
Yeah.
Yeah.
the code is 1/3 cracked, people. You can crack the rest.
So all they did is just change the name of the multiplayer team.
Dumb.
And it only applies to the multiplayer game. In the single player, they're still gonna be the Taliban soldiers, but you play as US forces, of course. So yeah, there you go.
Such a dumb cosmetic change. Yeah. Why even bother? Just tell us to shove it and do it.
Are they changing the uniforms?
Nope.
They're just changing the name on a little.
Yes. Now they're just not called the Taliban. They're called the opposing force.
Okay.
This is the same BS.
I feel so much better now.
Playing 6 days in Fallujah. My most anticipated game of 2008. Still waiting.
It was supposed to be 2009, isn't it?
I don't care.
So GameStop wasn't going to be selling this game on military bases, right? Do you remember,
hearing about that?
Yeah. So maybe now they will.
Now that there's just an opposing force that's shooting people in the head, shooting American soldiers in the face.
When you put it that way, that sounds crazy, right?
Yeah, right.
It's not okay for the Taliban to shoot American soldiers. It's okay for an opposing force.
I'm going to play it just so I can scream at people on the Taliban.
On the Taliban.
Hey, I tricked you. I'm not really an opposing force at all. I'm the Taliban. Here comes my mech.
The Taliban's got some awesome technology.
They do.
Greg's mind.
I've only seen Iron Man. I'm basing it all.
any of you guys a Beyond Good and Evil fan?
I played it in the beginning.
I did not play
it
at all.
In the beginning?
Yeah.
What do you mean? You started it but didn't finish it?
On the GameCubes, yeah.
Mm. Me too.
Yeah, but you didn't finish it. Mm. Oh, you guys weren't really into it then.
I mean, you know.
It was fun.
Whatever.
There's a pig.
She takes pictures.
Well, they're bringing it back. So you can start playing it again and then not finish it
in
all
HD.
Over. In HD, yeah.
Yes.
You saw it, right?
Yeah, I played it.
How'd it look?
Good.
Yeah.
It was like really,
or evil.
Really crisp, very clear. But there was a little framey. I didn't know if it's just like that's the way the game is, or if they're still working on
it. It's by design.
I mean, I don't know. It's been 7 years since I've played that game. I don't know. Actually, it was really hard to like jump back into it in the middle of the game. I was like, how does this game work? What's this game all about?
What's going on, man?
But in case you don't know, this is sort of a third-person adventure game made by what's the guy's name?
Michael Winslow,
creator of Rayman. It was
and as, King Kong.
Oh, Peter Jackson's King Kong.
Peter Jackson's King Kong.
It has a lot of gameplay elements in common with Legend of Zelda, like lots of puzzle dungeons and but yeah, that's
yeah, that game's for kids.
Beyond Good and Evil.
But anyway, that's coming out next year from Ubisoft. Beyond Good and Evil HD, coming to XBLA and PSN.
But no Wii.
No.
It was big on the GameCube, and that's the thing. It's like, oh,
Craig, it's called Beyond Good and Evil HD.
Oh, all right.
Maybe the 3DS.
Sure.
That's not HD either.
Oh. Isn't it
Speaking
though, technically?
Of,
is it not though, technically?
Not even. It's not even 480p.
Okay.
It's like 400 by 200 or something.
Huh. Kids toy.
Yeah.
Speaking of the 3DS.
Yes.
We have a release date and price for Japan.
They finally revealed it.
For Japan.
Yeah.
This fall and reasonable.
You think? Yeah. So you think the price is reasonable?
No.
This fall
and reasonable. I was doing the opposite of what the real answer is.
Please try to keep up, Damon.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Go back to Taliban jokes.
February 16th in Japan for what the amount of yen translates to $300, yeah. But it won't be that expensive when it comes out here.
No.
I don't think so. You thought it would be out here in Japan in November?
Yes.
That's what you were guessing?
I put down that I think it was going to come out the first week of November. I was going by the mentality of the DSi XL and the DSi regular came out around that same time in Japan.
Mm.
But it doesn't translate over because apparently they're afraid they're not going to be able to sell or have enough to sell if they released it this year. So they pushed it to next year.
It vibrated. There's nothing here, though. Maybe it's something else. Well, I got screwed. I touched the home button.
I won. I won the bet.
Yeah.
You owe me your life, Greg Miller. That was the bet.
No, it's your life. I never used it. You win your life back.
But that's really all the news that came out. It's supposed to come out here in March in Europe, but they didn't even say anything about North America.
No, they did.
They confirmed that also.
There's some interesting stuff about like the Miis.
Yeah, some cool things like technology-wise. You'll be able to do stuff like they can do on the Xbox 360 and the PS3, where you, in the middle of a game, hit the home button and do a little bit of multitasking. Mm. I think in this case, you can go pull up some stats. Or even go online with the web browser, which is kind of cool. You don't have to quit
while
the game is on.
So you can look up game help.
Yeah,
maybe
that'd be awesome. Hmm.
Do we know? I think this was speculated in your piece that it might have a pedometer built into
it. Yeah, so they said that was one of the stats you can pull up, how many steps you've taken with the system. And it's like, well, they need to have a pedometer to do that. And, they already have the tech with the personal trainer walking and the Poke Walker thing.
Mm-hmm.
They probably just threw that in there. So, because they want you to carry the system with you at all times. And that's kind of a cool idea, I think.
What's funny, Greg? You got a funny idea in your head.
No, I know. I don't. I'm fine.
Is it PSP related?
No, it's Taliban related.
Feel free to share with the class.
All right. So they'd come up on the one Taliban guy and be like, oh, I'm giving up. I'm sorry. And then he'd go, aha, I'm not an opposing force. I'm the Taliban. And you see those mountains behind me? Those are robot boobs. And this giant robot sits up and starts swiping at American soldiers.
I thought it was funny. Guess is disgusted.
Yeah.
It was
giant robot.
He had me up until he said the word boobs.
Real giant boobs, not
just
robotic.
So vulgar.
Yeah. No, they'd be robot boobs.
Oh.
They're just covered in sand. That's how they hide them.
Oh, I see.
Or dirt or whatever. I don't know.
It's a little bit of snow on top.
Nipple.
I feel like we might know about more 3DS games than we know about any other. Like,
God, yeah.
Before any other system, like before launch.
Yeah.
It's like there's been so many 3DS games
and
announced.
We still have 5 more months to go.
Somewhere there's some guy in the bottom of the Nintendo headquarters just like slowly converting everything to 3D. Yeah. Like, oh, God.
We don't really know of any like Western announcements. This was a Japanese announcement early in the week.
Mm-hmm.
So there's still Western developers working on stuff that we don't know about. At E3, they showed DJ Hero, but that wasn't even shown at the press conference in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Well, one interesting thing is that they did say that they plan to have more third-party launch support than ever before for a Nintendo launch, right?
So that's one of the reasons why they're pushing is give third parties enough time to work on the system and make them good. But the thing is, they have to put money into that. It's like they're making the developers put more money into their development cycle just to make them good instead of... a lot of developers are having a hard time justifying the cost of their games versus how much it's going to cost to develop and whether or not it's going to sell enough to justify how much money they put in.
Do we know if 3DS games are going to cost more than DS games?
They haven't announced any prices on what the 3DS, but I would hope that it's going to be what the maximum of the regular DS stuff is $39.99 because it's still a handheld mentality.
Yeah.
It's a handheld, so people are expecting...
People don't want to pay $50 for a handheld game.
Yeah. I think a lot of games are going to be downloadable only on the 3DS.
Really?
Yeah. Because cartridges still cost a lot.
That's just not Nintendo style, though.
No, but this seems to be a lot. They're putting a lot of focus on the online experience, not in the sense that, you know, online gameplay, but being able to download games invisibly or, you know, transparently. You have your system set up on your bedside table or whatever, and like overnight they'll download, hey, these are available, why don't you grab something, you know, for 200 points or something like that. I think it's going to be a lot of that.
So think about the Wii. Nintendo doesn't have a big like holiday casual game this year, do they?
Man.
Like what?
Fling Smash.
Oh, you think that's going to be a big gigantic sell?
Okay, I'm going to text my mom real quick. She's going to want to pick that up.
They haven't announced it fully yet, but that's the Wii Remote Plus game. They're actually going to bundle the new remote in with that game.
With Fling Smash?
With Fling Smash for $49.99. And that's, you know, a Wii Remote is $39.99. Yeah. The Wii Motion Plus is $20. So that's $15. They're basically going to give that game away.
To try and do another Wii Play.
Yeah.
That's what it's called, right?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Wii Play.
Right. You nailed it.
And so in Wii Motion, where the Wii Remote Plus is coming out this year in the U.S.?
Well, they haven't announced it yet, but the salespeople over at Nintendo snuck out that box.
That's what it looks like.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's the same size as the Wii Remote.
Yeah, it's a Wii Remote.
It has the Motion Plus tech in it.
And the only difference visually is a little bit of text on the bottom of the thing that's in a half circle. You see that
on
the bottom?
Yeah, I can see that.
That's not on the regular one.
Let me see.
But yes, it's the Wii Motion Plus tech. And you knew it was coming.
Yeah.
Have you ever tried to play like a regular classic NES game with a Wii Remote, Wii Motion Plus on
all
there?
The time.
It's kind of clunky. You have to take that thing off.
You do not do that all the time, Greg.
I know.
I still don't see Fling Smash being. I don't know.
No, I don't think that's a.
I really don't see the Wiimote Plus being huge either, because there just aren't that many games that use that.
I think they're
not only that, but that casual, like that super casual Wii market, they don't care about.
They don't know. Yeah.
My parents have a Wii, and I told them, hey, this, you know, there's this new game coming out, you know, that uses this Wii Motion Plus. You're really gonna like it. Blah blah blah. You should try it out. They tried it out. They hated it. They like the old Wii style. That's not like, you know, one to one or whatever. Right. They like the old style. So they don't care about this. I think it was Wii Sports Resort.
Okay.
Yeah. If you look at what the lineup, it's mostly catering to the harder core. So you got the
Kirby and Donkey Kong
Country, and like even the third party stuff like GoldenEye and Epic Mickey. Those are not casual games.
They don't have a Wii Play or a Wii Sports Resort or a Wii
Fit.
So
they've pretty much played out that entire thing. I mean, there is Wii Party that comes out this weekend.
That's true.
So I haven't reviewed it. We did play it, so I could do the review.
I could see
and
that being.
It's all right.
I could see that selling very, very well.
Yeah.
Basically Mario Party without Mario.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah. It really is all it is. It's Mario Party without Mario.
Why make a Mario Party without Mario?
Because I don't think it was Hudson that made it. It wasn't Hudson that made it. It was NBQ.
Nintendo could do whatever they want with
it. Yeah, that's true.
Anyway, maybe do they think that casual audience would rather play with the Wii brand?
They probably want their
Miis. That's more important to them than
my
Mario
parents
characters.
Don't care about.
I don't know if it's more important, but it's certainly they needed another game within that staple of Wii whatever. So you know the Wii Play, the Wii Sports, the Wii Music. You know that environment. They would need another game in that environment, and so that's what this is.
I see.
There is already a Wii Mario Party on the Wii.
Yeah.
Do you think that Nintendo is working on Super Mario Galaxy game for the next Wii console right now?
They're working on one, but maybe it's for 3DS.
That's what I was gonna say. A Mario Galaxy 3DS could be awesome.
Yeah.
Because that would be awesome.
When do you think the next console's coming? The next Nintendo home console?
Well,
coming?
That's the other thing. The system's coming out in February. And I think
3DS.
Once that's out February and then March, then E3 rolls around, then they can start touting the sales figures for that. And they're like, oh, and by the way, now we're ready to announce the next week.
So you're saying E3
2011. Are you predicting that E3 2011 they're going to announce?
Wii has so petered out. They need to do something. Yeah. And even if it's just like an announcement of the revolution like they did last time, it was like, oh, we have a revolution. And then they didn't say anything for an entire year. I think that's probably what's going to happen.
If the Wii is petered out now, though, E3 is 9 months away.
Right.
Like,
yeah, it has.
It's petered out, but it's still selling really well. Yeah.
There's only a key set of titles coming out this year, first and third party. And the only big title that they've revealed for next year is Zelda. It's like, hopefully there's a lot more than that. Who knows? I would think that they're mostly focused on 3DS, and they're kind of quietly, you know, putting the Wii, you know, behind the scenes. And then when E3 rolls around, they're going to have...
The Wii tries to come out on stage, and they're like, no, 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 no.
You have a special presentation in a little bit.
They need to reveal the special thing about the next Wii. They've hinted that there's something going on with the next Wii that's special, but they haven't said what it is.
It's just
going
to be a Hanafuda card trading game.
It would be very amusing if Zelda Skyward Sword ends up getting pushed to the next console.
I think they should, because nobody really is that excited about this next Zelda. I mean, I'm not saying nobody is, but the excitement level about this next Zelda game isn't as high as it's been in the past.
I would agree. I would agree with that.
Greg, remember your good friend Naughty Bear?
Oh, yes.
Now you can take it with you wherever you go.
Thank God.
On the iPhone.
Oh, good. I'm sure it runs really well there, right? And everything. They fixed everything, right? That one's perfect.
It's a different game on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
So what was it like on console?
Bad.
Remind us.
It was very bad.
So you gave it a 7.5.
Damon, before you announce real what the game is on the iPhone, I'm going to guess it's going to be a tower defense game.
You're wrong.
Oh.
Bird.
It's a violent Pac-Man.
Oh, God, really?
Yeah. Naughty Bear runs around in a maze, and the other bears chase him. And when he eats like a power pellet, then he gets weapons like golf clubs and machetes that he can chase down the bears and hack them up with.
I think a tower
for a limited
game
time
would have been better.
You know, at least they haven't given up on this franchise.
I know, right? Showed so much promise.
All right, you guys initially said you didn't want it, but now. Wow, so what did Levi give that one?
4 or 5.
Oh, damn it.
Isn't that what you gave? It was
I think I gave it a 2.5 on PS3 and 3 on 360.
That low, wow.
That game was awful.
Yeah. Now comes the time on GameScoop when we give away free stuff.
Ooh. Yeah!
Sergeant Michael Renner has a code for a 13-month Xbox Live Gold subscription.
That's
here.
That's more than a year.
He would like to share with you listeners. And this is good because in just a couple months, they're going to raise the price of Xbox Live. So now thanks to Sergeant Michael Renner...
Opposing forces, I'm sure, somewhere across the globe.
Opposing forces. You'll be good for the next year or so. So here's a code. Listeners, act quickly enough. You can get 13 months of Xbox Live Gold subscription for free. Here we go. HBYPFGYC97DQQVCFB82HC6XJM. Whoever gets the code, make sure you send good vibes to Sergeant Michael Renner, and let us know who's the lucky recipient.
Do you think there are people who like scrub through the podcast just to find the giveaway section?
Yesterday, it'd be hard to find.
Yesterday, I recorded the Nintendo Voice Chat podcast, and we were giving away the 2,000 points. And what I did was I separated the codes out. I said, "I'm going to read half the code now, and then somewhere down
that's
the line,
good. Yeah. That's good.
Wow. Yeah.
I'm going to take the idea. Yeah. We'll do that next time. We also have something, another cool thing to give away. We have 4 copies of this Dead Rising 2. Magazine. It's like a promotional magazine that they made to go along with the game. It's called ZQ, and it's like an actual like glossy 43-page magazine with like fake articles about that. I don't know. I guess the idea is this is a magazine you might find in the world of the game.
Yeah, in Fortress City.
They're like ads for Zombrex, and you know, there's like dating services for zombies, and I don't know. There's lots of cool stuff.
It's a character profile. It's a good visual gag. There's a lot of cool stuff in there.
It's actually really well done. There's a lot of cool artwork in here. So anyway, we have 4 copies of this magazine, ZQ Magazine. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So we're gonna give them away to 4 listeners. Greg, explain how the listeners can win these copies.
Obviously, when you're playing through Dead Rising, you are earning
2.
Dead Rising 2, or Dead Rising 1, but this is only open to Dead Rising 2 people.
Yes.
You're playing through Dead Rising 2, you know, you're earning experience, and you're getting PP points. PP, prestige points, they call them. And at the end, there's leaderboards you can go to from the main menu and see how you stack up against the competition. What we want you to do is go to those leaderboards and take a picture of your score. You have to have it, you know, you can say, find me in the rankings or whatever.
Yeah, my score.
Yeah. And then
my PP.
Yeah, show, and then we want you to show us your PP.
Yes.
We want to see your PP. And we want you to email that photo.
I don't know why that's funny.
With, you know, proof that it's you, obviously.
Yeah.
To gamescoop@ign.com. And the 4 highest player scores.
Yeah, so the...
Get these cool magazines.
So we'll say, what we're saying is the listeners, the 4 listeners with the biggest PPs are going to win a copy of ZQ Magazine.
Cool.
Wait a minute.
If you want, we can have Sam Claiborne sign it.
When I think of PP,
instantly destroying its value.
That is
look at that mustache.
Random.
Anytime
yes.
somebody thinks of PP, that's what they think.
If you so desire, sure. Now Greg's being distracted by the magazine.
I'm just paying to
give it back.
We're done. Once we're done, I was going to give it back. I give it back. Calm down, Dad. Jeez.
Send your
turn this podcast around, will you?
Send your
show
PPs.
You. I'm not even Greg. I'm the Taliban. I tricked you.
Too soon.
Somebody make a T-shirt of that.
I'm the Taliban. Oh, I tricked you.
I just think it should be a shirt that says opposing force.
Oh, it should be. The front should say opposing force. Yeah. And on the back it says, I'm the Taliban. I tricked you. Man, LaFondra, you're so dumb.
Also, we mentioned that Matt Jones was archiving old episodes of GameScoop on the an IGN blog. He created a My IGN account called GameScoop Archives, and he now has every single previous GameScoop episode, episodes 1 through 178, all on one blog post.
Now, we don't even pay this guy.
That's amazing.
I know. It's really incredible. They're really cool. You can download each one individually, or you can listen to them right in your browser. So
what?
Yeah, it's very cool.
Better technology than we got.
It's awesome. So that's all. That project is completed. Big, big props to
Matt Jones. Well, it's not completed because he's just going to be doing it every
week. Well, I mean, as of now, I mean, we are up to date now. So any listeners can all find all those old episodes. Just check out GameScoop user, my IGN user, GameScoop Archives. You'll find it all right there.
So what does that break down to? Is the web URL? Isn't it?
I don't know what the
my.ign.com.
I think it's people.ign.
People.ign.com?
Well, the user is GameScoop Archives, all one word.
Yeah, so people.ign.com/GameScoop Archives.
All right. Yeah. You can always just Google GameScoop Archives, my IGN. It'll get you there. That's what I do for anything on IGN. Google.
Listeners, remember you can always reach us at GameScoop@IGN.com, just like Tyler Dansby did. Tyler says...
He's written him before.
Really? You recognize the name? Tyler says, I have a rather impossible task to ask of you. I am a junior in high school. I am in AP English. Our teacher has assigned us a persuasive essay about a topic we can truly connect with. So I immediately decided to bestow upon myself the challenge of writing an essay on why the PSP is a great handheld platform.
Well, good luck.
That obviously, is an uphill battle, Tyler.
I do not feel it's a great platform, but I want to write my essay on it nonetheless. I know this might hurt your brains, but please tell me some good things the PSP has going for it. Greg Miller.
Well, first off, are we allowed to dial it back and just say it's a good handheld platform? I think it's a good handheld platform.
It is. I would agree with you.
All right, good. There you go.
In fact, I'll let you continue.
Yeah, what you would go for, I mean, I would pair it against the DS and just say if I ever get trapped in an argument at a bar about this, it's quality versus quantity kind of things. Yes, DS gets a gajillion games, you know what I mean? But I feel the majority of PSP games that we get that aren't a movie tie-in are pretty awesome, you know what I mean? Valkyria Chronicles 2, I'm over 50 hours into. Metal Gear Solid, Peace Walker, I'm more than 60 hours into. Like, these are games that, granted, you know, you get like... PSP fans like me, we get, 5 or 6 quality, awesome games a year, but they're games that last a really long time. You know what I mean? Like, about the time I was like, all right, I'm kind of slowing down on Peace Walker. I'm at 65 hours. I'm to the point where I need other players. Valkyria came out and was huge and is a really deep game. They just released 22 missions for $5. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there. You figure God of War is still coming up. That's cool. If you want to go and be super hardcore about it, you can... you know, get a free program that'll crunch videos into the format needed for the PSP, so you can just put all these videos onto, if you had a whole bunch of stuff off the internet, like IGN GameScoops or like TVs, I like to put those on there.
I would go one step further and say it's a great hackable system.
That's true.
I'm being totally serious. You know how like the iPhone has that jailbreaking market?
Yeah.
Now you can add so many things on the iPhone that way, but it lacks buttons. So like, you know, if you wanted to do emulations and stuff like that, it's not a very good platform to do that. The PSP, you know, it's gray area for all those emulations out there, but it's got a lot of them. It's got a huge homebrew market out there.
Sure.
So
yeah, there's lots of stuff.
I would think, you know, that's the gray area. But that's what I've taken one of my PSPs and have done that, and it's pretty awesome.
Also, it looks better.
You think it's just like sexier? Just like
the screen. Like, graphically, it's better.
Yeah.
The sound is better. The graphics are better. I think the overall, like Greg was saying, the overall quality of the marquee games is better than the overall quality of the marquee games on the DS. So, that's a plus.
You
also,
go.
You will never see a game on the PSP that says plus cats at the end of it. whereas on the DS, you will.
Homebrew
plus cats? All right, yeah.
Would you turn the corner on firmware if everyone was firmware plus cats?
If there were cats playing while the firmware updated, I would be very happy.
You can put a cat as your wallpaper in the PSP.
That is true.
So
yeah, you can customize. PSP is more customizable. Mm-hmm. That's true.
There's a lot of good things to say about it, but in terms of like support and stuff like that, it's just not like retail support. It's just kind of a dead system.
If you like Japanese RPGs and like turn-based strategy games, there's a lot of them for
that's a place to be
for the PSP. All right, this is from Jenna. She says, "Hey there, my name is Jenna. I love your show."
Sorry.
What's the matter?
There's a picture. We're going to get a picture eventually.
Sorry. Can you give me a little bit of a preview of what we're going to see, Greg?
There was a tan in brown.
You need a pedestal to block the
No, I can't see out of the back. Damon, since I've made the joke about that, Damon hides pictures in the frame.
All right. All right. Can Jenna continue?
I guess.
She says, "You guys get me through the workday with great laughs and wonderful game advice. I want to say a specific hello to Damon."
Here we go.
"I heard you telling your story about the girl you met in a restaurant and how you and her had a great time. But the curious thing was, when you were describing her, you were describing me. I thought maybe I had blacked out and gone on a date with my favorite podcast host. Unfortunately, this girl..." Why will you not allow me this one thing?
She's fine. You can have this one thing.
Jesus.
Go ahead.
You're so mean to me. "Unfortunately, this girl with light brown skin, curly dark hair, tends to look smoking hot, and with librarian-style glasses, lives in Pennsylvania. It was amusing to me and a great romantic story. Maybe another time, damn it. Keep up the great work. By the way, Greg Miller is awesome. Your wild energy and great sense of humor keeps the show exciting."
All right, cool.
"I hope to hear more of you on this podcast."
Oh, you will. She didn't send a picture of herself, though, huh?
No, she did not send
her. Bad form,
Jim.
Maybe she's an opposing force. You don't know. This is what we deal with
every
day.
They infiltrate.
She also says, "I'm sort of an artist and was wondering if you're still collecting sketches of the Sharktopus." We're always looking for new works of Sharktopus.
Do we want to make a special request, though? Like, I mean, type of Sharktopus?
What do we have?
I want to see a Sharktopus fighting opposing forces.
Can I make another request? Yes. I want to see a Sharktopus opening a treasure chest at the bottom of the sea.
Okay.
So whichever of those you choose to make. You know, whatever your artistic...
You have artistic license, Jenna. Yeah. Do it. You will.
So, Greg, do you think he puts like red herring pictures in his stack to make you think that there's some
awesome
things?
I'd love to think that Damon thought that through. Sadly, I know Damon.
I don't know why we're friends sometimes. You won't allow me to
I wouldn't
slightest...
really say we're friends. I mean, you know, acquaintances?
This is Jules. He says, "How does the IGN staff feel about the recent shift in development duties on major upcoming titles? Bungie isn't doing Halo, Itagaki isn't doing Ninja Gaiden, Kojima isn't doing Metal Gear Rising, Ninja Theory is now doing Devil May Cry, Infinity Ward is basically a different studio, blah, 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 blah. To me, personally, I think this is exactly what the industry needs. What do you guys think?"
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, if you're not going to give up on if you're not going to just do a new game in general and make new franchises, then yeah, pass them off with some fresh blood get in there.
Plus, it takes years to make these games. I'm sure these teams get burnt out, on just making the same thing.
It's not anything that's new. It's just happening all in a big cluster. You can list off a whole bunch, but I mean, like, Neversoft gave up Tony Hawk a long time ago to work on the Guitar Hero franchise, and now they're giving that up to work on something else.
That's good for them.
Yeah, like, I'm a huge Bungie and Halo fan, but it was time. I mean, you know, how much longer are we going to keep doing this, right? So, I mean, I'm glad that Bungie's doing something new, and I'm super excited to see what they do. I think it'll reinvigorate them as a studio.
This is Dan Mann.
Dan Mann.
He says, "I need some help with a grudge I've been holding for years now. I have refused to buy anything Sony since 2003, and here's why."
Yeah, fanboy hate.
"I am a former member of the United States Marine Corps and was deployed to Kuwait in early 2003. My platoon and myself were in Kuwait for several months in the middle of the desert with nothing to do but train and play video games. We had brought a PS2 and original Xbox, but during a rather serious sandstorm, the tent that my platoon was staying in was knocked over, and to our dismay, both systems were destroyed. We wrote letters to both Microsoft and Sony, asking for replacement systems, explained what had happened, and also offered to pay for the replacements. A few weeks later, we received a package from Microsoft containing two new Xboxes, along with several controllers, quite a few games, and a letter enclosed signed by members of Microsoft's team wishing us well, all free of charge. A few days after that, we got a letter from Sony saying that we would be able to purchase a new PlayStation when we returned to the States, but since they were not responsible for the damage, there was nothing they could do.
Nice.
My question is, should I forgive Sony and break down and buy a PS3, or should I stick to my guns and continue my boycott?"
The boycott, you were expecting to pay for it anyway, so I don't really understand, because they were, you know, dicks about it. Just compared to Microsoft. Microsoft was nice, but comparatively, Sony were dicks. But if both of them said, "Oh, you know, you're going to have to pay for it," whatever, then there's no – why would you boycott? I don't really understand.
I don't think you can boycott somebody for not sending you free stuff.
Yeah, that's like, that's my thing.
If they came to your house and stole your television.
Or if there was the ulterior motive of getting it for free. If he was expecting to get it for free simply because he's in the
But he offered
Marines.
To pay for it.
Right.
He says, "P.S., if you would like to give me a call and discuss this further,
oh, man.
I would love to hear Greg Miller's take on this." He has his phone number here.
Can I ask a question? Does he?
Don't feel obligated.
Does he own guns?
He was in the. He was a Marine. I mean.
What was his name?
Dan Mann.
Dan Mann. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Are you gonna call him?
Yeah, sure.
There he is.
I love that we were calling a Marine after making Taliban jokes for 30 minutes.
Yeah, but he was in Kuwait.
I don't want to die. Well, you would, I guess, block.
Are we still recording?
I'm trying to.
Yeah. Okay.
Why would we?
I don't know, because there's nothing going on right now.
Well, Greg is calling our friend Dan Mann.
All right.
Trying to navigate the labyrinth of the IGN phone system.
How many people do you think call him Dan the Man?
He probably requests that they do. Yeah.
Yeah, get your mic up close to the phone there. We've tried to call so many people on the podcast and nobody ever answers.
Because they were working.
It's lunchtime.
I'm just saying. He told us to call him.
Hey, Mr. Call, leave me a message.
Leave a voice message, press 1, or just wait for the tone.
Dan Mann, hello. This is Jeff Rubenstein of the PlayStation blog. Greg Miller from IGN passed off an email that you had some troubles with PlayStation 2 back in the... I'm just kidding! It's the Taliban imposing force and we got you! That's why I didn't get nothing! Blah, blah!
Oh, no.
That was what I was going to say.
Yeah, well...
That was what?
Did the letter from Sony come in broken English? Did it make sense? Opposing forces probably intercepted
it. Intercepted
pocketed the PS2s for themselves.
And used them to make weapons, because exactly. The PS2 can launch nuclear weapons.
Never have I been more glad that our building has like three layers of security.
Yeah, that joke will make no sense until he listens to the podcast.
someone, you didn't even identify like, yourself as Greg Miller. Someone is yelling at me that they're the Taliban on my voice.
If he listens to the podcast, he'll know your voice, even from the start.
I thought I did a good one.
This has happened so many times now that we've called people and they don't answer.
We should stop doing it.
Now I hope, I kind of hope that no one ever answers and we just continue leaving voicemails for people.
Or random people across the country.
This is Theo. He says, I've got a question of morals, ethics, or whatever you want to call it. Recently, my Xbox got the three red lights. I called Xbox. I was told it would cost $150 to repair it. My question is, should I eat the cost and buy a Slim, or should I swap it at my local Walmart? I found the serial number sticker comes off, making a swap pretty easy to get away with. I realize this may seem like an asshole move, but the way I think of it, I've been an Xbox supporter from the very beginning, and I just graduated college and have next to no cash. Also of note, I assume since I would do it at Walmart, there's really no victim considering it's a huge corporation. Thanks in advance for your advice.
Nice mentality.
What is he saying he's going to do with the serial number?
I don't understand. He can swap the serial number?
If you take the serial number off, he needs
to match the box.
Like a white sticker,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So then what are you replacing it with?
Yeah, what's he going to
replace it with? The old system.
He's going to take it in to return it.
Right.
And they're going to say, do you have your receipt? Blah, blah. And then I guess he has a receipt for the other one?
Yeah,
it's like a launch system.
No, you buy the new system and it has the new serial number on it. And then so you swap out the serial number.
Oh, and then you return the one with the old one on it.
It's very shady and it's not legit.
But if he has a launch system, like the new systems aren't even the same model.
No, it's grandfathered.
Walmart's not going to.
Yeah, they're going to be like,
but it's a launch system, so it should be grandfathered in.
But he says not. He called Microsoft and they said they're going to charge.
There
him
was
to fix
a
it.
Limit on.
Was there a limit? There.
Yeah. I don't think they'll fix launch systems anymore.
Oh,
but I mean, you should really just get a Slim anyway. I mean,
it's going to be just get the Slim.
And besides, aren't they going to stop selling the normal size? It's going to eventually go to the
Slims.
Slim
are really nice. Yeah. I love my 360 Slim. Yeah, it's great. It's awesome.
Although I always accidentally hit the eject button.
I know that the eject in. It's really easy to turn on and off. But other than that. It's really nice.
So how do you accidentally hit the eject button? I don't understand.
It's just really sensitive. It's if you walk within 4 feet of it, it will.
It's not a button. It's just a touch sensitive.
So it's like the PS3.
Yeah, but PS3's is not as easy to accidentally turn on.
I don't know. Hillary tells you stories about his dog, you know, the nose touching the... Or you were telling me about Portillo nose touching the...
I did not tell the story. Oh. That hasn't arrived.
It is Hillary, yeah. So, like, ejecting the drive just by sniffing the system.
Maybe that's my problem. I'm sniffing my system too much. I'm like Jim Riley.
You love the smell of your Slim.
This is Craig Herman.
Oh,
I recognize that name.
Missouri's Craig Herman.
Yeah. Are you guys going to be... He has two questions. Number one, are you guys going to be playing any multiplayer games with the IGN community during the Extra Life Marathon? I don't have much money, but would gladly donate some if I'm in a chance to play some Halo and chat with the IGN editors.
Yes, if you donate to my page, I'll play Halo Reach with you.
I am planning on doing some Smash Brothers.
And I'm going to be doing a lot of I'm going to try to Platinum Mod Nation Racers, so I'll be on
Smash Brothers and...
I will play Lara Croft and the Guardian of Light with you.
Oh, sure. Man, wish I had a code for
that. Well, actually, I do want to ask you guys, are you guys interested in playing some GoldenEye with me? Because that's the only way this is going to work.
That day?
We have it now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I got it for this event, but it's only multiplayer.
I'll play some.
So definitely want to have
it. I'm a big old fan.
All right, cool.
Colin is also doing it. I think pretty much right now, if you reached out to anybody on the page, on the URL.com/extraign, you can see who's playing, donate to him, join our team, and you can also, then you'd be able to contact people from there and see what they do. I know Colin, if you donate with him, he'll play whatever you want to play.
Craig's second comment is, he has an opinion on the latest bathroom activity topic, peeing in the shower. While you may
I missed this discussion.
We were talking about this. So we all agree that it's gross to pee in the shower.
Yes.
But Craig says, while you may think of urination as gross just because it often takes place in a dirty, stinky setting, it really is clean and harmless to your health, unlike feces. Unless you have some serious kidney problems, urine contains no bacteria or other harmful chemicals or life forms. As long as you're hydrated, it doesn't smell too bad, and doing it in the shower seems totally natural to me. I piss in the shower every goddamn morning, he says.
So I've heard this. I don't know if this is an urban legend or a rural legend, but apparently you can actually drink your own urine a couple of times. I don't know what the number is, but like, you know, the first time it's fine. Like if you're out in the desert, right? Like you need to drink a liquid, right? You can drink your own urine and you're fine. Maybe do it another time and you're fine. But after it's filtered like a couple times, it's just so harmful that it'll kill you if you do it a third time. I don't know if this is true. So if somebody needs to tell me if they've heard this too.
Craig says it's totally harmless.
Right, but it can't be always harmless. Like you would think that after
I mean, it is waste, right?
Right.
That you're getting rid of.
Did this conversation come up? Like, there's a YouTube video out there from like South America or something that there's actually like a public service TV commercial.
Yeah, in Brazil. They recommend people pee in the shower because it saves water.
Right. So, I mean, like, did this come because of that?
No, but I've heard that before.
No, we were talking about – I forget. Yeah.
We were just talking about – bathroom.
Yeah, here's a crazy counterpoint to all this. You know, you hear people complain who are like think that the bathroom's gross and all this, but when they're peeing, that it's splashing a little bit and kind of getting urine kind of all over your bathroom, little minuscule droplets of it, right? If you pee in the shower, that's not going to happen.
Right.
It's all going to go straight down the drain and get washed down the drain. It's not going to go. I know somebody who's like, I hate peeing in the
toilet.
Standing up while I pee in the toilet because. It gets little droplets on my toothbrush. My toothbrush is probably getting little droplets. So
and,
I was like,
and well. from my perspective, I don't make a habit of it, but I will admit that in my own bathroom, in my own shower, I have peed in it.
Wow.
But I'm not going to go to someone else's house. I'm not going to go into a public shower and pee in it.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Yeah.
I usually just pee in the sink.
I have done that too,
but not mine. Like,
no,
but not mine.
I think it was at high school, and like, I'm like, I need to use the bathroom, but the lights didn't turn on. I'm like, where the hell's the bathroom? Like, well, there's a sink.
In college, after a party, we were all drunk, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and there was a bat in our bathroom. And I just shut the door and went and pissed in the sink and went back to bed. Done with this.
Craig has one final comment. He says, Nebraska sucks. Don't ever go there. Greg's story is a great example of why. It's cold, lonely, and contains nothing of interest. I lived in Omaha for the last year and was a victim of crime 4 times.
Wow.
Plus, it's the home of the Cornballers or whatever the hell they are. Huffers. Go to Columbia, Missouri instead. You'll be glad you did.
You drive through Nebraska on 80, and there's nothing there.
Yeah. My sister.
Your sister's there?
She lives in Nebraska.
She's just standing outside of 80?
There's a truck stop on the corner of 80.
Read IGN.
There really is nothing there. I couldn't believe it.
This is Hunterman. If you've answered this question, sorry to make it a repeat, but I'm trying to make absolutely certain that the only way to get an NBA Jam for 360 and PS3 is to buy a copy of NBA Elite 11 and then download it from the respective store.
It has changed. It has completely changed. They pushed NBA Elite 11 to next year, but they're going to release NBA Jam on the PS3 and Xbox 360 as a standalone thing. They haven't revealed what they're going to do. If it's going to be a retail product, if it's going to be a downloadable product, if it's going to have the Wii stuff in it now, or if it's not. Because like they now have 2 more months. They're going to do it as a holiday release. It was supposed to
come
out.
It's very confusing to me.
Yeah. So that's how it's changed. Like the NBA Elite delay has changed things completely. So now it's going to be a standalone.
This changes everything.
Yeah. What was that from?
It's from E3. The Sony banners all said it's changed
everything.
But they put the T was like a person playing. So it read it literally. It was just everything.
So officially, it's a holiday release, but we don't know if it's going to be a downloadable or a retail product. You will have to pay for it, though. It's not going to be part of the NBA Elite experience.
He wants to know, what do you think of the Wii getting the full version, while the 360 and PS3 get a downloadable good amount of features online HD version of Jam that can only be played by paying $60 for some game you may not even care to play.
Well, I thought that I was annoyed. I did an editorial about that because, you know, EA was like, you know, oh, it's Wii exclusive, Wii exclusive, Wii exclusive, until all of a sudden, like, they, oh, hey, we're just going to port it over to the PS3 and 360. You're going to get the arcade experience. But the Wii stuff's going to have lots more stuff. But yeah. All anyone wants is the arcade experience and online. And that's what the HD versions are.
Yeah.
So I thought that was kind of annoying.
Are you liking NBA Jam on Wii?
I like it a lot. I'm going to have the review up on Tuesday.
Cool.
Yeah, so I give it a thumbs up so far.
Did I hear you say, are you like embargoed on what like...
The secret characters?
The secret characters are.
Of certain secret characters, yes.
Are there musicians in there, did I hear you say?
There is musicians, and I can say the BC Boys
that's,
are in
I
there.
I heard you say that. That's yeah. Awesome.
The BC Boys are in there.
That totally makes me want to play that.
Yeah, the mascots, NBA mascots are in there. Mm-hmm. There are the guys that did the soundtrack to NBA Elite 11 are in there, but I don't know who they are. Hmm. I just saw the two guys. I
Earth, Wind, and Fire, I believe.
Yes. No. But yes, there's a lot of secret characters.
Geddes is zoned out. He's like staring off into space.
God, I couldn't care less about sports games. I don't care
it's
what
not a
are.
Sports
NBA
game.
Jam?
NBA Jam is no, an arcade
care.
Game. It's not a sports game.
It's an arcade
game.
Sports game. I don't care.
They're almost as boring as racing games. Am I right?
Oh, yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that's funny.
Man.
I see what you did there. That's really funny.
Geddes is racing a sport. Half. David's coming out strong.
Wait, is that a sports reference?
No, it's a GameScoop reference.
Okay.
Idiot.
This is Jacob. My fiance isn't a gamer, but she does like to play Halo with me. Only problem is I'm tired of playing Halo. I do not personally own a 360, but I own a PS3. How do you play Halo with her if
what?
You don't own a 360?
A Halo Risk.
He says, what other Halo-esque games could I play with her, presumably on his PS3? In my opinion, Killzone and Resistance are much more complicated than Halo and may frustrate her. Should I just let her try them out, or is there a better solution?
I
really like the Rainbow Six Vegas games for playing other people. They both have Vegas 1 and 2 both have like split screen.
Is he playing? Oh,
there.
Just okay. So they're local. I'm assuming they're playing together.
Well, I guess I'm assuming. If his girlfriend isn't a gamer, I'm sure she's not playing online with him remotely.
But she owns awesome. A 360.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
I don't know. Mm.
I don't know. Little Big Planet.
Yeah, you can do a little bit.
Well, he wants something like Halo though. Halo though.
Yeah, that's tough. I don't. I mean,
a cooperative shooter that apparently that they can play on 360. Army of Two. Is there split screen for Army of Two?
Oh,
well, we weren't very much help on that one,
no.
Were we?
Well, his question doesn't make any sense.
Okay,
we only play one game on a system I don't own.
Let's blame the victim.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Isn't that what they do in SVU all the time?
Let's move on. This is Matt Pinker. He says, "Hello, GameScoop crew. Matt here. I have a funny story for that happened in GameStop.
Finally.
About a week ago, me and my best friend, who will remain unknown." Decided to go to the local mall and see The Last Airbender before going into the theater.
This is a failed trip already.
Before going into the theater, we decided to go into GameStop to see if there were any games we wanted to buy. There were only about three other people in the store and the cashier. I started talking to the cashier because I come to this GameStop often and I've become friends with all the employees. While I was talking, my friend went to the back corner of the store to play the PS3 demo. Now, before I go any further, I should probably let you know that I am a huge practical joker, and I love to pull pranks on my fire ends, so sometimes they always tend to be watching over their shoulders while I'm around.
Sometimes they always do, huh?
Now, I hadn't pulled a prank in a very long time, and when I saw my friend...
I'm a pins and needles here, Damon.
When I saw my friend playing the demo, I decided that I couldn't let this opportunity pass me by. I slowly crept up behind my friend, reached out, and pantsed my friend, revealing his embarrassing bright red Guitar Hero boxers. Thankfully, he didn't freak out on me and got his payback when I was buying popcorn. Hope you enjoyed the story.
What? So wait a minute.
Clearly, there's a gap in the story here.
These guys go to the mall and pull each other's pants down on the weekend?
Yes.
Good story,
yes.
Bro. Oh, my God.
Isn't that awesome?
We did enjoy the story.
Actually, I didn't interpret it when he got him back when he was buying popcorn as being pantsed. I think maybe he peed in his popcorn.
I only assume his friend pantsed him while he was buying popcorn. Yeah. I do.
That was a good story.
Yeah, please send us another story.
Where else are you guys taking each other's pants off? Weirdos. This is our good friend.
He didn't explain what boxers he was wearing when he got pants.
No, yeah, I didn't have as much detail there. This is our good friend Singing Pigs.
Oh, yes.
Thanks to GameScoop, I was super pumped for the Sharktopus movie on Sci-Fi, which I think aired over the weekend. Yeah. We didn't watch it. We don't really care about that. We only care about the GameScoop.
We have pending legal representation looking into this.
He says, I managed to get my friends pumped for it also. So pumped, in fact, that we held a Sharktopus viewing party.
Wow.
Where over 15 people crammed into our little apartment, crowded around an old 17-inch TV, loudly cheering for every kill and yelling at the two main characters to ignore the chaos and get it on at the boat landing. As is our custom for any party, we made a themed cake.
Oh,
wow. That is awesome.
Amazing.
Wow. That's really cool.
For your viewing pleasure, I present to you the official Sharktopus cake. It's very good.
Yeah. Please embed that in the art.
I love the like old pizza riddled cookie sheet that it was made of.
Eat that.
I like the leftover shark pieces that they were trying to make.
Wow, that's really awesome.
Let's get that on the wall.
It looks delicious, actually.
Yeah.
Do we have a tape? Great.
Yeah, we have plenty of tape.
You want to put this up on the big board there?
Wow, that's cool. Now, I have another question, though.
Yes.
He's got 15 friends coming over. Can't they all pitch in to get a flat screen TV?
I don't know, 17 inch.
Or does he just mean a 17 inch like LCD TV or whatever?
He says an old 17 inch TV.
Okay, that sounds like a CRT to me. Come on, guys. Yeah. You can't watch Sharktopus or any sci-fi original movie in any of its glory unless it's in HD.
It's true. So, you know, just so you know, Singing Pigs, your Sharktopus cake is going up right underneath the first artwork we got of the Sharktopus with the octopus head.
So this is a good opportunity, actually, to let people know about IGN's partnership with the Sci-Fi Channel. Do you know
about think I even know about
it. Okay,
this.
So our entertainment guys hooked up with the Sci-Fi Channel, and Sci-Fi is making a new B-movie. And by going to IGN and voting in a poll, you can actually decide what the subject and the plot of the movie is.
But they've already decided on certain...
Yeah, some of these have already
been... What are the options?
Well, it goes through stages. So first you decide, is it about aliens or is it about mutants? Is it about, do the mutants do this or do the aliens do that, right? So you'll have to go to IGN's movie channel to see where it's at now. I don't know the URL off the top of my head, but it's actually really cool because you can see, like... People actually, you vote, and that's what they go with. It's not, like, rigged or something. Like, it's actually people on IGN going to decide. Hmm. And I think it's really cool.
So where do they find this?
Just
go to IGN.com? Yeah, is the poll on IGN.com?
Yeah, no, it's not a poll like you'd see on the main page down at the bottom. It's actually... On,
story.
Yeah, it's an article on the movies channel.
So search
I can't tell
IGN
you exactly.
Sci-fi.
Yeah, IGN sci-fi.
If you go to
movie.
movies.ign.com, it'll
right.
be promoted.
You'll find it there. Cool. But and check it out because I think it's cool. Like to actually, I've been voting in it, making decisions or whatever, and it'd be cool to see the final
for the movie you'll never
movie.
Watch.
Yeah, I will watch it.
All right, last message here from Michael O'Reilly. It says, just got back from a vacation in Spain. In one of the bars, I requested a Floradora. Not thinking that the bartender would know what it is. To my surprise, he or she did. It was a gay bar with a guy in drag, and his response was, scoop.
No way.
No. Impossible.
Really?
Yeah.
So you're calling Michael O'Reilly out as a liar?
Yep.
This has happened before.
You're lying.
In Spain?
Yeah. A drag queen in Spain. You think it's impossible that a drag queen in Spain would listen to this podcast?
Nothing's impossible.
Not impossible.
What if he was saying, see? Like, yes, I will give you the Floradora.
Michael O'Reilly says Floradora is truly global, and I choose to believe him.
There's an easy way if you're this drag queen and
That's true. I want to believe.
Yeah.
I want to believe.
I call shenanigans.
Okay. So we got two against two here. So if we don't get an email from this person, well, how will we know it's a real person? We need a picture
of you in
of
drag.
Of you tending bar
in drag
in Spain.
Holding a Floradora.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Then... And you have to be holding up a Spanish language newspaper next to you.
Wow, this is very complicated.
With the current date.
Yes. Then we will believe you, and we will feature you.
All right, that's all the scoops we have for you this week. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Greg.
I tricked you. I'm an opposing force.
No! My name is Damon. This is IGN GameScoop, and we're out. Come get some. Beware, I live. IGN GameScoop.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.